Have you ever had a situation where, as an adult, no matter what you do, what you accomplish, your parents still kind of look at you like, eh, it's never quite good enough?
You can never live up to their standards.
That's today.
Let crazy and insane, my crazy family.
That and a lot more. We got a story of a disgraced Navy guy, has kids by multiple women and a bunch of girlfriends and a wife. And a 23-year-old girl found out that her mom thinks she's a narcissist. So we'll dive into all of that on today's episode. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of this show. You even get advanced episodes. So if you're binging and going, I'm out of episodes, I need more, and you'd like it all to be commercial free, even the archive, sign up on Apple Podcasts. Try it out for 3 days free. Then after that, get everything, you know, right there. There's a lot of advanced episodes, by the way, like a month in. So much for you to binge away on right now. Tony, Stacey Cole with you on today's episode. What's up?
Our stories today just have me like this Navy guy. Oh my God. He's got women all over the place.
He's pimping all over the world, as Ludacris would say it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but that, you know, cultivating a relationship with one person takes a lot of time. But if you've got multiple women, girlfriends, and even a wife and kids, where is this guy finding the hours in the day?
I don't understand that. Not only just from like a moral concept of like, that's right, not right to do to other people, but more so like, how are you like compartmentalizing each one of these relationships into its own box and then only pulling from that one box when you're with these specific people and not fucking up and like, oh, because I'm sorry, my life gets very gray. I never mm-hmm. cheat. I don't have more than one relationship at a time. I mean, especially now I'm engaged. But it's just something, even when I was just, you know, dating a couple years ago, I don't date multiple people at once because I can't fucking do it. My mind would not allow me to. I can't imagine how you'd handle this with children and marriages. And just, it takes a special type of, I don't know, crazy is the word or what, but it's not right.
Do you think there's an app out there where you can keep track of each woman that you have in your life?
Well, I mean, it'd be like a Google calendar for each person. And then you kind of gotta, but you have to always be looking at whatever it is to reference. I mean, unless it's all very surface relationships, maybe we're overthinking it. When we're in relationships, we think we're invested. We're all in. This is, maybe this person doesn't do that. Maybe that's the key to it. You always treat it very generic and you never really go in to get to know somebody. You just kind of talk about yourself. Because it's a very narcissistic thing to do, number one. And narcissists tend to not be all that interested in anyone other than themselves. So maybe that's the key to it. You have to be a narcissist. You don't really give a shit about the people other than like the sex. And you're just kind of, you know, floating around there talking about yourself and everybody's impressed everywhere you go. And I don't know, that to me seems to make more sense. What's even more shocking is when people do this sort of shit and they're like in the same city. There's like one wife on the west side and one on the east side and there's separate families. How does that even done? And how do the wives not realize something is up very early and easily? Or is there a sense of awareness, but more of a lower self-esteem I can't do anything on my own, or I can't get out on my own because I'm financially, attached to this person and I'd be, you know, broke if I left. And then that keeps them there. Or, I mean, there's abuse usually in that equation too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very possible. I don't understand how somebody can keep all of these relationships going successfully. I think you would fail somewhere along the lines that the other person would kind of do a double take and go, huh?
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
Yeah. It's bizarre, but some people are able to do it. Maybe you have someone in your life who has done that, or anything crazy for that matter. If so, we'd love to hear about it. You can write in on our website, crazyfampod.com, or call toll-free 833-CRAY-FAM. That's 833-272-9326. Let's jump into our first one of the day.
All right. Well, it is our first one. This is from Maggie via mycrazyfampod.com. She said, "Hi, this story is about my ex-boyfriend, who is also my oldest daughter's biological father. It all started when I met him in 2008 at the age of 19. So she was young. He was 20 and stationed at the Navy base in my city in California. He was from Florida. The lies began immediately. I started dating him, and within a couple of months, I found out that he also had a girlfriend in Florida who was only 16. Well, that's a whole bunch of other issues right there. He somehow convinced me that they were really broken up, but she can't let him go, etc. I had no idea what a sociopath or narcissist was back then at 19 years old, so I believed him. It turns out that he was telling her that I was his stalker and wouldn't leave him alone, even though he was coming over and spending the night with me almost every single day for months at this point. One day he tells me that he has to go on sea duty on his ship and he'll be gone for the weekend." Now that would make sense, right? You know, you're dating a Navy guy and he's got to be gone for a while.
Sure.
"Well, again, I believed everything he said. So a couple days before he's supposed to go on the ship, he accidentally, here we go, leaves his laptop open at my house. And I see the email confirmation for his Florida girlfriend to fly into California that weekend." See, you need an app. You need an app to keep this shit straight. We should work on that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
"When he comes back from work that day, I tell him to get the fuck out and never come back. 2 weeks later, I find out I'm pregnant with his baby. I texted him to let him know, and he threatened to hit me in the stomach with a bag of oranges." Jesus. "And that it's not his problem anymore because he's deploying to Japan next month anyways."
Of course he is.
Well, and a typical guy from Florida, what's he going to choose? Oranges.
A Florida man. That's, yeah, yeah.
Unreal. "Okay, so flash forward about 5 months, and I find out I'm having a girl. For some reason, my dumb, naive self wanted to let him know that he'd be having a daughter. It turns out he never went to Japan, and he's been in town the entire time. He weaseled his way back into my home and into my life. He came up with the story about the Florida girlfriend and him breaking up because she's a cheater and a whore, allegedly."
You mean just like you?
Well, eh. "He even said his mom saw her with two different guys. So a couple of months go by and now I'm super pregnant. And one day I see a text pop up on his phone from grandma saying, 'I love you so much, baby.' And it seems strange to me." Well, yeah, grandma shouldn't really be calling you baby, right?
Yeah.
"So I look through the messages and it turns out, guess what? It's his Florida girlfriend saved as grandma in his phone."
Wouldn't that
and
be
guess
weird?
What, guys?
Grandma's pregnant.
Grandma's pregnant. Yep, she's pregnant too. He had gone home for a week or so during the summer and now has two daughters on the way. Fucking hell. That's when I really lose it and start telling him to leave again. And he convinces me that the other girl is pregnant with someone else's baby and she is a whore. So he's just surrounded by alleged whores, obviously. Well, a few days later, I get a call from his wife, a third woman. She lives in Montana. Oh my God. She wants to know where he is because he abandoned her. I think she was trying to look for him through other Navy guys and found my number. So as I'm trying to make sense of all this and figure out what to do with my life and not be with this lying guy, he tells me that he is getting kicked out of the Navy for stealing, drunk driving, and sexual assault. So he's been screwing. So he assaulted some other woman, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to go to the brig on the base. He was locked up when I gave birth to our daughter. He came back and she was a few weeks old and he said, "I need to see my mom. She's really sick," around Thanksgiving. And he left for Florida and literally never came back. I have not heard from him. And our daughter is now 13 years old. I stalked his Facebook and he has five more kids with two other women in Florida. This is just the top layer of the story. It's so much worse. I've learned some valuable lessons from him. I still have PTSD from it and really bad trust issues, but my daughter is the best and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well,
holy shit, Maggie.
Good. I'm glad this, I was afraid we were going to hear like, you know, and he disappeared and he came back 5 weeks later. 13 years have gone by and he's been gone. I would say good. Stop, you know, Facebook stalking him. Stop trying to define, you let go, cut the cord. There's no point in sitting here and letting yourself be pulled down by the negativity and the insanity of a sociopath for the rest of your life. I mean, this person clearly has no involvement with your daughter, and that's a good thing. You should never, ever, ever encourage her to have any sort of interaction with him. Now, when she's an adult and she wants to do what she wants, you know, make sure she's well aware of the fucking story. Don't sugarcoat it. I hate when people sugarcoat reality to their kids because, oh, they did it. They should know. They should fucking know what they're dealing with. It's irresponsible to be a parent and not explain what the fuck is going on when your kids are trying to put the building blocks together of who they're fucking dealing with. Now, kids sometimes can be, you know, rather defiant on things or not accept things for reality on reality's terms because they have an idealistic view or wish or hope that someone is someone that they're not. And a lot of times they have to find out the hard way. But there's nothing wrong in this case. I mean, you don't have to go out of your way to bash the person. Just tell the truth. That's the interesting part, because I think a lot of parents feel like, well, you know, I don't want to badmouth them. If you're just speaking reality, you're not badmouthing.
Exactly.
If you are presenting facts and you're not going into the, he's a fucking dick or she's a fucking bitch, and because of the, you know, just present the facts. The facts tend to, with people like this, bury them far more than your opinion or your personal experience. I mean, share your personal experiences, but don't, you don't have to exaggerate anything. You don't have to, because
he did it for you.
He did it for you. That's that's one of those things where when you're in that situation, it's like, oh, I don't need, because a lot of people will be like, just to keep the kids away from the other parent. If they don't want them, they'll exaggerate, they'll embellish and things of that nature. Most of the time, if they're a bad human being, you just speak reality, and that's all you really need to do. So I think that's great. Your daughter's 13. You love her. She's turned out to be a great kid. There's many, 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 many children who had one absolutely piece of shit parent, but one really awesome mom or dad, and they turn out wonderful. You don't always need that second paternal parent there or maternal parent there just because they share some fucking DNA.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't share sanity or anything like that, they don't need to be around. They really don't. If they're wanting to be there, they're wanting to show an effort, that's a whole different thing. This person clearly has abandoned the child. I get, you know, you're curious, morbid curiosity. I would probably be that way to a certain extent too. Like, what have they done now? You know, what, you know, it's like watching a train wreck and like hearing, oh, there was another wreck. Like, oh, let me fucking look and see what this crazy fucking person did now.
Oh God, yeah.
I get that.
No, that's human curiosity. We're all about that.
I get it, but at the same point, it can easily suck you down that rabbit hole of how you've been victimized, and you have been. But don't let that be your identity. Don't let the victim don't let you becoming a victim be your identity. And I totally get you got PTSD, really bad trust issues. That is in your court to deal with now. That is not anything that they're gonna have some sort of come to Jesus or show up, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done. No, they're fucking sociopaths. They're going to die a sociopath. And you can either let that envelop you more or, you know, start trying to find a road to healing from that shit as quickly as possible for your own good and the good of your daughter. That stuff exists. It's going to exist, but there are ways of working through it.
I know, it's very true. And you don't also want to affect how your daughter is going to relate to men as well in her life. So I think that's, you know, it would be really important to seek some counseling if she hasn't, just to grapple with what she's dealt with, because that was abuse.
100%. Yeah.
And, you know, mom's got trust issues, but we don't want the 13-year-old daughter to then have trust issues as well. and perpetuate this cycle and keep it going just because dad was a piece of shit.
We want the daughter to have the smarts to, number one, not fall into that. So having trust issues and having confidence and being able to understand people and read people are two different things. It sounds like when she was this woman was younger, she didn't understand how to read people or understand where people were up to until things were far too late, and kind of kept going back to it because she didn't have those tools in her toolbox. We want the daughter to have those tools in her toolbox so she doesn't make the same mistakes mom did. But at the same time, not necessarily having trust issues, but just more so a better compass on who to trust. We should all be cautionary on who we trust, but be able to trust when we feel that things are right. And we're all going to make mistakes, and that's fine. But let's get the daughter better tools to work with as she gets into those ages.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we're not blaming the victim here at all. You know, oh my God, we've all,
it's just how to
we have all been in relationships where we're like, what the fuck was that about?
No, it's about healing. It's about taking your life and putting it in a positive direction and not being the victim. You know, I hate that. I mean, and we've all been through so much shit. We could all say we could be the victim forever. Sometimes it feels easier, but deep down, it just destroys your soul. So you're much better off, you know, learn from the past. It sounds like you really have. But, you know, there's always, when you have PTSD, when you have things like that, there's always more you can do to feel better and get better, because some of those scars will truly never go away, but they can become a heck of a lot more less noticeable and less putting a weight on your life if you really work through those.
Absolutely. Our next story, this one's an interesting one. My sister told me, we are both 23 and female. I don't know if they're twins or not, but it sounds like it. My sister told me that recently our mom, who's 55, was watching TikTok about dealing with narcissists and told my sister that she thinks I am one. Of course, the definition of a narcissist includes excessive need for admiration, disregard for others' feelings, an inability to handle any criticism, and a sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. Now, she goes on to say that I'm not entirely surprised to hear this, as she often hints that I'm a sociopathic, cold, and mean person. But this has really been bothering me. To know that my own mother sees me as a manipulator, an unfeeling person, and knowing that she's officially put the narcissist label on me, I've struggled socially my whole life, and I can definitely be difficult to deal with. I am in therapy, but I really don't think I'm a narcissist. I work with kids at my job and I love it. I have lots of hobbies and interests. I consider myself a very empathetic person. To be reduced to a narcissist by my mom is really hurting me deeply. My boyfriend and friends have assured me that I'm not one, but my mind keeps going in circles wondering if I could be at fault for having constant conflict with my mom. Deep down, I'm not a bad person, and that her accusations are a reflection of her own self-perception. I'm really just hurting and struggling with the fact that this is how I'm perceived, even when I try so hard to be gentle and kind with others. Just wondering if anybody else has dealt with something similar.
And I'm not saying you're a narcissist, but the first thing that narcissists hate are to be called a narcissist, and they never accept or realize that they are. Which is why it's nearly impossible to fix that in a narcissist. And there's a difference
between... Is it possible this person is a recovering narcissist?
We all have narcissistic tendencies. There's narcissistic personality disorder, and there's narcissistic tendencies. We all have them. And a 23-year-old female usually has a lot of them, no matter who the fuck they are. And I'm not just saying it because it's a 23-year-old female... It's just really kind of reality of, where's my phone? I thought the dog has my phone. It's one of those things where, we can have those tendencies just because, you know, kids are naturally narcissists, especially teenagers. And I think it really carries into early 20s easily. I think, you know, I was very narcissistic at that time, but a lot of times people grow out of it. And they realize that those tendencies are not helpful or healthy, and you know, you kind of change your ways because you adapt. When you don't, that's when it kind of goes into the personality disorder, because you've never assimilated with the rest of society and have issues. Now, a narcissist can also be confused for many other things. Asperger's is one of them. If you've always kind of had weird relationships with people, you were kind of quiet, you were kind of off to yourself, but you were happy, people can read that as being standoffish, as being self-centered and all that. And it really just your neuro-ness of you, really, it never felt comfortable in those sort of settings. It doesn't make you a narcissist, but it can appear like that to others. So I think my guess in here is that mom is probably referring to the last 10 years of, you know, living and having this child who's now 23, which 10 years goes back to about 13. So, you know, seems like a long time when you're 23. When you're 55, it's like a fucking, you know, snap of the finger. And you probably did have a lot of those tendencies, is my guess. But if that's not who you are today, just continue to show that you're not. And know that you're not. And if you really feel like maybe you have some of those things, read up on it. There are tons of books on narcissists and narcissistic personality disorder. And sometimes you have to look in the mirror yourself too and say, yeah, that's not really, you know, who I want to be, or admit some of your faults. If you can recognize Annie. But narcissists also do the exact same thing that she said, of they will hold the mirror up and say, this is you, but they're really just kind of projecting their own personality onto you so they don't get blamed for being a narcissist as well. Without knowing a lot more about the situation, it's really hard to say, but those would be some of the potential paths I think she's dealing with.
You know, and the other thing, I wonder if mom isn't one herself.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that could be a strong possibility here. But again, without knowing much more, you know, I don't know. Most narcissists are not aware of them being narcissists either. So if you're sitting here questioning it, you're probably not a narcissist. If you're really taking the time to deep down look at it, because most narcissists will simply say, I'm not, and that's the end of it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
There's not a lot of self-reflection with a narcissist. The fact that you're sitting here worrying about it and thinking about it usually says you're not. Could you have tendencies? Could you have had when you're... Sure, of course. Like I said, we all do. But it's a matter of making the choice to not continue with some of those ways of living and finding a better way, or sticking with them. And that's where you truly do get those personality disorders and people that live their life in that sort of a path.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But, you know, I think you really nailed it, that, you know, just the fact that you're even having this awareness, it speaks volumes. And, you know, you'll grow up, you'll mature, you'll figure things out. And I think that's really cruel that mom called you that. I think there's something to explore there. Why would a mom do that to her own child?
Well, and then to go into the world of like sociopath, like she doesn't even know what the fuck she's talking about. I'm like, that's a whole other. Now, she could have very valid observations of someone being cold, someone being mean, someone being self-centered from a girl from the age of 13 to 23. That's a window where that's typically there to a certain extent, statistically. Boys too, but it does tend to be higher in women. And I'm just speaking reality and facts. I'm not not injecting my personal opinion here. But that is what it is. But then you grow up, you grow out of it. And you're at that stage now where you're hopefully starting to see, the other side of things. It certainly sounds like you are looking at yourself, and doing some introspection. So I think you're on the right path. You're telling someone, I'm not a narcissist, is not going to make them think you're not a narcissist.
Yeah, that's very true.
All you
very
can do true. is live your life, and you know, I know that hurts, but just keep living your life in a positive way. Don't be a narcissist, and you know, let your let your actions speak for themselves, because that's the only way sometimes to help people understand things. When we're younger, at like 23, you want to be able to turn someone's opinion very quick by just saying something or presenting arguments or presenting facts, and hopefully this deep-rooted feeling is going to change. you'll realize as you get older, some things take time. And that's the only thing that it takes to convince people otherwise.
Nope. Great point. Our next story, I recently received a $3,000 scholarship to my university due to having good grades and being first generation. I'm assuming first generation to go to college. I texted my mom excitedly. She completely ignored it and said she was upset because her flight home was delayed. Okay. I can understand her flight delay frustration, but how hard is it to text congratulations back to your kid? I'm thinking back and, you know, they've never been in my life or they've never in my life been proud of me. I ran Division I track and field. I am number two on my school's all-time record list. They never even said how proud they were of me. I graduated undergrad magna cum laude and received only a congrats card. Even when I got my driver's license, they never told me they were proud. I just feel like I can never get them to be proud of me. It's taking a big mental toll, especially considering this is my final year in grad school. So somebody is kind of sobering up that, you know what, my parents really don't acknowledge anything that I've done.
And if they haven't yet, they probably aren't going to start.
No.
And that's the reality you have to deal with and face. And if it's taking a big mental toll on you, that's up to you to fix. It's not going to happen by urging them and pointing this out to them. Mm-hmm. That's not going to do shit. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's not. The people, and it doesn't mean that they're not proud of you or they don't love you or think highly of you. It's how they express it. And some people express things in really fucked up ways. You know, when we look at it through our own prism, we may express it very obvious in ways and say it to the people that we love and care about because that's how we express it. Others, maybe not so much. I'd be curious to know, and it'd be interesting for this individual to take a look back on their parents' upbringing and see what sort of examples they had as children growing up into adulthood, because a lot of times people tend to emulate their parents in a certain extent. And if their affection and love and, you know, showing, you know, encouragement, showing being proud of someone, pride was never a part of it, it may not even be on their radar to even express it in that way. They may think that you already know that because they're your parents. And it's almost a given. Now, would it be nice? Sure. It'd be great to hear that sometimes. But that's not always how it works. But I don't know the parents, obviously, at all to speak more on that. But I think a lot of times it's not that they don't. They just don't show it in the way that you receive it. It's like love languages. When you're talking about a relationship with someone else, understanding the other person's love language, how they receive, give, and take it, is really kind of critical in making that connection, especially if they're different. And you can start to understand other people and how they function and realize, oh, they're really showing this to me that way, but I take it this other way and vice versa. That is an interesting thing to learn how to accept and how to then function in those relationships. It could be a level of that that could be learned and used in this as well. But
that's a really great point.
But it's frustrating as shit. And instinctually, we all want to have that parent or parents' approval and just recognition for what you've accomplished and what you've done. And they may show it from time to time. I'm going to guess the argument that we made is, we've always been proud of you. Look, we sent you that card. That was something, see? And then they'll turn it around like, well, what about when you didn't say anything like that to us? What about when you didn't do the ta-da? And it kind of gets defensive and it will go absolutely fucking nowhere other than put a damage in your relationship. So taking the big mental toll on me, that's where you kind of got to wrap your mind around that and understand it and do some work. Maybe talk to somebody, a counselor, a therapist or something, and learn how to deal with that so it doesn't take such a mental toll on you. But again, that's 100% up to you. Do not rely on mom and dad to come around and suddenly, you know, be giving you the fucking party of the century and saying, we're so sorry we didn't recognize all these great things you've done, because they're not. They're going to keep doing exactly what they've done until they're dead.
You've nailed it. That's exactly it. They are not going to change.
Yeah.
Nope.
It is. And at some point, you just got to be like, It's not fucking worth it. It is not worth the mental toll it takes on me trying to examine this and run the hamster wheel of it, or even talking about it or bringing it up, because they're probably not going to be receptive to it. And even if they are in the moment, that's a conversation. That's not a change in life. We were just talking about it. Live it, show it. If you want to do something different, at some point people stop doing that. They just are like, this is me and that's how I'm going to be. Now, I mean, yeah. I can relate to this in many ways, but I do know that my parents are proud of me, and that they care, but they don't show it in ways that I would receive it. And I've just stopped giving a shit. Like, I'm not here to prove anything to them. I'm here to provide a great home and a life for my daughter. That whole, you know, dynamic of your parents being in the role of, you know, being that support. You know what, when you become an adult, it shifts and you realize, oh, your family, that's still your family. But you know what, the next part of your family you get to make. And that's your forward part after that. It's going back to the past, expecting childhood, you know, adulation and all that. It's not how things work.
No, it isn't. You know, when you're 5 years old, that's how it works. Yeah. But not when you're in your 20s and above. It's just that's not a thing anymore.
No, learn how to be proud of yourself without constant praise. That's something that I am very good. I've hated praise too. So there's probably an element of that in me where I probably rejected it honestly as a child because I always felt praise was like bullshit. That's my own trust issues right there. But I always felt like anytime, even when I did something good, it was always like, they're bullshitting me. Like I read people incorrectly quite often. And I feel like a false sincerity is there quite often. That's why I never liked sports. I never liked getting into that stuff because it always felt like you're just saying this to like make them run or do something better or faster, which is exactly what they're doing because it's that. But
it's me, encouragement.
But it's not like I respond to like deep down authentic encouragement and like on the surface stuff. Just I fucking hate it. I hate it. Because it just feels fake. But anyway, I get it. When my parents visit, usually the first thing is and I am very meticulous on my house and how things are looking, and it's good. We're doing good. Everything's good with us. But rather than point out, oh, that's really cool, I'm glad you did that, or this, it's always like, well, I can guarantee this is going to be one of the first ones because the pool out there doesn't have a cover on it for winter. And it doesn't need it because they don't have any leaves. They just treat it and it's good. And I had it professionally done. The first thing I'm going to hear is, you sure you don't need something else for that? You sure you don't need to? Like, I don't know. And number one, and there'll be some expertise that will be doled out there of like, well, I think maybe you'd need to look in a little bit more. But the expertise is based on absolutely nothing because they've never owned a pool in their life. Have never had to manage a pool in their life. Have never done anything with a pool in their life.
So they're just putting it out there.
And you can insert anything you want here where some expertise or wisdom is being implied to areas of life they've never experienced whatsoever. And I hate that because it's like, you've never lived this experience. And if you try and explain, look, you've never been like this through this before. So you, and I'm not talking about a pool. So I don't really expect you to know a whole lot. I just want, you know, support. That's all. I don't need advice if you don't have the means to give it, nor would I give advice to somebody if I don't have the means to give it. But that's usually volunteered sometimes and it comes across as hurtful. But you just kind of got to understand, read the room, what you're dealing with. And when you kind of can put that little filter there and not get upset by what if a stranger was coming in and saying that shit to you and you'd be like, get the fuck out of my house. If it was your parents and you realize it really does come with love, but their way of love is a little not quite how I show it, you can accept things a little bit better to make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. The human condition is a lot.
Yeah. But it's confusing as shit. And I am counting down my moments right now as we record this because,
oh God.
Cause we're recording this right before Christmas. I know this is coming out towards the end of January. But I'm counting down the moments right now because I believe they're hitting the road, either today or tomorrow to avoid a blizzard. And I'm just like, okay, Tony, don't get upset at things. Just kind of take things with a grain of salt. Understand that they communicate differently than you. And some things may be utterly fucking crazy that are said. But deep breath, deep breath.
You are a very good son. You really are.
Yeah.
The fact that you're allowing something that gives you anxiety to come into your home and spend the holidays, that says a lot about you.
We'll try and get through the holidays with as little alcohol and sticky icky as possible. But I'm sure there'll be some used for coping mechanisms, and I know that's not healthy, but
deep breath,
sometimes you just kind of need to have a drink or two when that's going on. And it helps them sometimes too, I think, to ease up.
Oh, hell yeah. Always, always offer a drink to the nasty relative unless they're an angry drunk.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think that's how like you survive in Wisconsin half the time. That's why everybody gets along so well is alcohol.
I agree.
Especially in winter and you all have to be in closed quarters together. It's what keeps things moving. That sounds horrible. And I'm not trying to joke about it because I know it can be a horrible, horrible thing that people deal with, the alcoholism and all that. But I'm just making a small little joke of how what I've seen in life. So take that with a grain of salt.
Amen, brother.
There you go. All right. That is going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and subscribe. Even get 3 days free. All the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it commercial-free. Binge away right now on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My crazy family.